Thank you, Brother Barney, and thank you all for allowing me to be here today. It's good to be inside this building for a change. I see the outside of it pretty frequently. When we advertise Watermill on the program, all of our supporters, we spend a little bit of time each week advertising a congregation so folks in that area can know who's supporting the program in their area. And I put up a picture of the building and talk about you folks a little bit, and hopefully some folks visit because of that, or at least are aware that you present the program for them. So it's good to be inside with you today instead of just outside. At class, we talked about the history of Know Your Bible a little bit, the kind of the mechanics of it, and where we've been and why. I'd like to spend this time telling you a little bit more about actually why we do the program and why we believe the program works. To do that, we need to talk about a couple of scriptures first, kind of the foundational scriptures of the Know Your Bible TV ministry, if you will. One you're very familiar with and one you're probably not as familiar with. The familiar one is in Luke chapter 8. It's also a few other places. We won't read through all of it because I'm pretty sure that most of you know the story. It's the story of the sower. Jesus told the crowd that was following him a story that made sense to them because they lived in a farming society. They knew what he was talking about. And all he told them was that when a sower goes out, he throws seed out. He broadcasts it everywhere he can. And some of it falls on the path or the rock roadway and doesn't take root. Some of it falls on some rocky ground and it'll take root for a little while. And some of it falls on thorns and where there's a lot of weeds and it gets choked out. And then some of it falls on good soil, and it grows up and produces a crop. A pretty simple story. He got done and went back with his followers and a little more private, and his disciples said, "What'd that mean?" of course, to us, that's silly. We know what it means because we've read the rest of the story, but they said, "Why'd you tell that story? What's that got to do with anything?" And so Jesus explained it to him in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. He said, "Well, the seed is the Word of God. That's what I was talking about. The seed's the Word of God." He said, "When it's sown, when it's broadcast, it goes lots of places. And some of it, some people hear it, and it just immediately is taken away by Satan. It's like being on a pathway. And some of it, it's like falling on rocky ground. It takes root for just a little while, but not very long. Some of it takes pretty good root, but then the thorns, Satan comes and chokes it out. The cares of this world just choke it out, and it doesn't take root to stay growing." And then in verse 15, he says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." He says some of that seed that gets sown, some of it falls on good soil. And that's a good and noble heart. Well, that's a foundational scripture that we talk about every year when we talk about Know Your Bible. Because we believe that's what we do. When I say we, I include you because you help. We sow the seed. Even back then, a term for that was broadcast the seed. We broadcast it electronically these days, but we broadcast it. We just throw it out. It goes through the wires and over the airs and through the cables, and it goes, we don't know where it goes. It just goes. So we love that parable of the sower because we think that's our marching orders, is to sow the seed. We're not really told to worry too much about where it goes. Not told to worry too much about what percentage takes root. We're just told to sow it. So we do. Now, the second one that you know a part of, but let's check the whole thing out. Go to Isaiah 55 if you have your Bibles with you. Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll start in verse 8. Isaiah 55, 8 says, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay. We've heard that part. We realize that God doesn't think like us. He operates on a much higher level. So he tells us that there. And then he explains what he's talking about. The explanation we're not quite so familiar with. He says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Okay, well, he kind of references back to the sower thing again. But what he tells us is, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For instance, when I send rain and snow down, it goes everywhere, and it makes things happen. It makes things grow. I don't just send rain and snow and have it evaporate back into heaven without doing any good. It does good. Basically saying, I thought of this. You know, this is the way I water the earth. This is the way I make things grow for you folks. Okay, then he goes on and he makes the application for us. He says, so, just like that, so will be my word, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, your translation may say in this thing or some other thing. I like in the matter for which I sent it. Okay, so you got Isaiah 55 now. God says, I think differently than you do. My ways are not your ways. And just like I send rain and snow and it makes things happen on earth, that's the way my word is. When my word is sent out, when it goes out, it will not come back empty. It will accomplish what I want it to accomplish in the matter for which I sent it. So we've got two pictures here. We've got a picture of our part, and we've got a picture of God's part. Our part is to broadcast. Our part is to sow. Our part is to throw the seed out there. As many places, as many ways, as many options as we can think of, we sow the seed. And God says, if my word goes out, it will succeed in the matter for which I sent it. You see, that's where his ways are higher than our ways. We don't know that. We don't know where the matters are that he wants taken care of. Now, the reason that's such a key verse for us, that's the reason that's such a key verse for me, Isaiah 55, 11, is because I'm reminded of that constantly. Being in the position I am, where I see most of the results of Know Your Bible, actually I don't see most of the results, I see a very small percentage of the results of Know Your Bible, but I see a lot of them. And when I see them, I am constantly reminded of Isaiah 55, 11. And that's what I want to do this morning, is just try to tell you a few of those things that when I hear them, when I see them, when I'm confronted with them, I realize Isaiah 55, 11 is true. It works. God knows the matters that he needs taken care of. Let me just tell you the last couple of months, really, and the Know Your Bible ministry. First thing I'll tell you is there's a little town called Pratt, Kansas, just west of Wichita. I don't know everybody in Pratt. I hardly know anybody in Pratt. I know a few folks in Pratt that go to the church there. And I really don't know where the good soil in Pratt is. The soil he's talking about. I don't know where the good soil is. I don't know where he wants to send the word. But we broadcast there. That's in the broadcast area. So every Sunday morning, the word is sown in Pratt, Kansas. And a few months ago, it went into a household where Natalie lives. Now, Natalie's 80 years old. If you got your little handout, her picture is in there. If you didn't get your handout, please get one when you leave. It kind of gives you the history of Know Your Bible and the finances and lots of facts. But Natalie's picture is in there. She's 80 years old. She was watching the broadcast one Sunday. Actually, she watched it a lot of Sundays. But she called Steve Triplett, who's the minister in Pratt. She called Steve, and when he answered the phone at the Church of Christ, she said, "I want to be baptized." And Steve said, "Well, that's a good decision. That's really good. I'm proud of you. Could I ask what brought you to that decision?" And she said, "Well, I watch Know Your Bible." And Steve Tandy just told everyone how to obey the gospel. And I'm 80 years old. I need to obey the gospel. And so Steve set up a meeting with her and studied a little bit more with her and found out that she understood exactly what she was talking about. And the picture you see in your hand out there is Steve baptizing Natalie. Okay. Now, the point of that story is that God had a matter to be taken care of in Pratt, Kansas. Know Your Bible helped him with that. He made the promise. He said, "You send my word out, it'll go where I want it to go. It will take care of the matter that I want it to take care of." So when I hear a story like that, when I see that, when I meet Natalie, I understand Isaiah 55:11 is right. Because you see, when I answered that question about how do you obey the gospel, I don't really remember answering it. I know that I didn't answer it thinking of Natalie because I didn't know of Natalie. All I did was explain the plan of salvation. I wasn't speaking to anyone. I was speaking to a camera, actually. I was just thinking about wording this as best I can and all that. And all the rest of it, God took care of. It went where he wanted it to go. And it accomplished what he intended it to accomplish. And it took care of the matter that he wanted it taken care of. And I see that over and over again. South Dakota, we started broadcasting there a little over 5 years ago. Sioux Falls and that area is a real missionary. Very few churches, very small churches, very far in between them. Anyhow, I went up there and did a Know Your Bible meeting for them, and we tried to tie it into the program. They mailed flyers out to anybody that had signed up for a correspondence course and made it known that I was going to be there. Over the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the meeting, they had about 10 students and viewers come to listen to me. There were 6 congregations that came together. Now, in the Bible Belt here, that doesn't impress you folks. 10 visitors, 6 congregations, big deal. You live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that's a big deal. Okay? Because all the churches are 2 hours apart. Anybody that came drove at least 2 hours to get there. The students, many of them, drove that far. Okay? It's a little different world than up there than it is here in the Bible Belt. And they were thrilled to death to have those folks there, and I was thrilled to get to visit with them and see what they think of the program and what they're doing. And some of them had already been converted to Christ there. In fact, one morning, well, Sunday morning, we I said, "What time are we leaving for church?" I'm staying with some folks, and asked Jim, I said, "When do we have to leave in the morning?" He said, "Well, we got to leave 30 minutes earlier than usual." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "We got to go pick somebody up." So we took off and went a different direction than we usually went to church. And we drove out in the country. And then we drove further out in the country. And then we drove way out in the country. And I'm watching the bean fields and all this stuff that I enjoy seeing, but I'm thinking, where in the world are we going? So I finally asked him, I said, "Jim, who are we picking up?" And he said, "Oh, this is the fellow," I gave him his name, he said, "he was our first convert, first Know Your Bible convert." He watched the program and signed up for the correspondence course, and we came out here and studied with him and baptized him, and he can't drive, so we come and pick him up when he's able to go to church. Now, while he was telling me all that, I was thinking, you know, I wouldn't have thought that God had a matter to take care of clear out here. I didn't know that. You know, if I'd have set up any other program to knock doors or send flyers or whatever, I wouldn't have found this place. Yeah. But God had a matter there that he needed taken care of. And he let Know Your Bible help with that. While I was there, I met a fellow named Wayne Sharp. He's the minister in Yankton, South Dakota. Yankton has about 17 or 18 in attendance on an average Sunday. And Wayne came up and told me, he said, "I got to tell you about Danny." And he said, "Danny showed up one day at the building and told me he had been watching Know Your Bible. Danny told me he was raised Catholic and he was sprinkled when he was a baby. And he said he had been watching Know Your Bible and he decided he needed to be immersed. And so he found the Church of Christ here in Yankton and came and talked to me." Now Wayne lives in Yankton. And he didn't know that God had a matter named Danny in town that needed to be taken care of. He didn't know about that. But the word was broadcast, and it accomplished what God wanted in the matter that God was interested in. There was some good soil there. It just needed the seed. Also met Jim Mettenbrink while I was up there. He's the longest tenured preacher in that mission field area. He preaches in a little town of Brookings, South Dakota. From the time we started broadcasting Know Your Bible up there, Jim's been a big believer in it because he understands getting the word out is what God says to do. He spends every penny that he can raise to advertise Know Your Bible. He puts it in shopping newspapers, he puts it in the newspaper, he puts flyers on bulletin boards, he does anything he can. And when I met him at the meeting that I was holding, he told me about the visitors that they've had. People that drive 20, 30 miles to come see this Church of Christ that I advertise every few weeks on Know Your Bible, and to see what they're about and to meet the Christians there. Jim knows that there's matters to be handled in Brookings, South Dakota, and he wants Know Your Bible to help with it. Sunday afternoon during that meeting, about 4:30, we had a meeting for the area churches, and since they have to drive so far, it was at 4:30 in the afternoon so they could get back home at night. Anyhow, people came in that had driven an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and one family came in. And they were all ages. I mean, there were young kids and old folks, and the whole group came in. And they stepped in to the lobby. I was kind of standing out there in the lobby meeting people. And when they stepped in the door there, they just kind of lit up like, "Whoa, yes." And so I assumed there were some old friends or something, somebody they knew standing behind me. So I turned around and looked. There wasn't anybody back there. Kind of embarrassing, but they were excited to see me. And they just swarmed me. And one of them was carrying a camera, and they said, "Here, you got to line up with everybody. We got to take a picture." And I tell this back home to tell folks how they ought to think, you know. But you got to go a long ways from home to get that kind of treatment. But anyhow, the story, the rest of the story, the important part of the story is this family, four generations of them, live in Sisseton, South Dakota, which is as far north as you can get almost, northeast South Dakota, just a little bit south of Fargo. And they live 70 miles from the nearest Church of Christ. Now, the grandmother can't get out and go that far, so what she does every Sunday is invites all the neighbors that will come to her house to watch Know Your Bible. And they watch Know Your Bible together and then talk about it. The rest of the family, when they're able, when the weather's good, they drive the 70 miles to the nearest Church of Christ. But being in South Dakota, there's a lot of Sundays they can't go that far. So when the weather doesn't allow it, they stay home. And all those the other three generations, Grandma does her thing, but the rest of them meet at the other folks' house, and they all watch Know Your Bible together, and then they have a little worship time, and then they talk about the program, discuss the questions. Now, the lady and her husband and her children and their spouses and the grandchildren all get together and do that. Well, one of the young, in fact, their picture's in the handout too. One of the girls was there, she's 10 or 12 years old, and I looked over at her and I said, is that right? She said, oh yeah. She said, after the program. She said, I have to tell them what I learned. And they all talk about it every Sunday. That's what they do for their church, if you will. And when I met those folks and learned that story, I understood that, yeah, we think of Know Your Bible as being broadcast to the lost, but God also has some matters of growing up Christians. He has some matters of encouraging the faithful. And He lets Know Your Bible help with that. There's places where it's what grows and encourages Christians. A couple of weeks ago, I went to Dodge City, Kansas to hold a meeting and talk about Know Your Bible a little bit. And I met brothers and sisters there who were Christians, were brothers and sisters because of Know Your Bible. And I went to a preacher's meeting they had out there that Monday. Some of the area preachers got together. I was visiting with a young man named Chuck Marshall who preaches at the Great Bend, Kansas. And they're one of our supporters and help with the program. So I mentioned to him something about going to South Dakota and some of the things that happened up there. And Chuck told me, he said, boy, I'll tell you, I'll tell anybody that Know Your Bible works. He said, we had a couple not too long ago that just appeared at the building and said they'd been watching Know Your Bible, wanted to study the Bible together. So said, I studied with them and baptized her. And he wasn't quite sure that he needed to do that yet. And in the meantime, they moved. And they moved to Pratt, Kansas, actually. And he said when they got there, they continued the study with Steve there. And since then, he's been baptized. Well, after I heard that story, after lunch, I got to thinking about it. And I thought, I know a lot of the matters that God takes care of with Know Your Bible, but I'll never know all the matters. That was a chance happening. I mean, people don't report too well for some reason. And just happened to be talking to Chuck about it, and he told me that story, which I didn't know that story. Know Your Bible is involved in things that I'll never know about. In fact, I tell the folks back home, and I'll tell you the same thing, we're not going to know until we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, I don't know if we have name tags there or not, but there's going to be people looking for the supporters of Know Your Bible. They're going to ask some of you, you're from that Watermill bunch? I saw you advertised on Know Your Bible, and that's how I learned about Christ. That's the first time we're going to know all the matters that Know Your Bible has been involved in. Davenport, Iowa is another place we broadcast, and Rock Island, the Quad Cities up there. Let me just tell you one about a month ago in Davenport. You got the picture in the handout there of a young lady named Jenny. Randy Schilling is also in that picture. He's a minister there in Davenport. He had a day off a few weeks ago, and on top of that, he was sick, so he didn't go to the building. But a service tech called and said, I got to get into the building to work on something. So he drove to the building and planned to be there 10 minutes. While he was there, a young lady named Jenny, whose picture's in your handout, drove into the parking lot, stopped and walked in and found Randy and told him that she'd like to talk to somebody about baptism. Okay. Now, Jenny watched Know Your Bible. One day she decided that the correspondence course sounded kind of interesting, so she called the 800 number. She got a phone operator in Burlington, Iowa, who's our partner up in that area. They took her name and address and began sending her a correspondence course. A lady there in Burlington named Roberta started grading her correspondence course. And at some point in that correspondence course, Jenny decided that she needed to be immersed. She didn't know how to do that. She didn't know who to contact. She was driving down the street that day and saw Church of Christ on the sign and said, well, that's who puts the program on. That's who sends me my lessons. So she stopped in there, and Randy happened to be there, and the rest of the story is in your handout. Don't you love coincidences? His ways are above our ways. See, I wouldn't have figured it out that way. I wouldn't have figured this is how you get the word to somebody named Jenny in Davenport, Iowa, but his ways are above our ways. In fact, it occurred to me, we started broadcasting from Rock Island 15 years ago. Why did we start broadcasting from there 15 years ago? And it occurred to me, and this is hard to say because our ways aren't his ways, but maybe 15 years ago, God knew that there was a very young girl that had a good and noble heart. And 15 years hence, she was going to need the seed sown. Maybe. Maybe he knew that in 2016, there would be a matter that he needed some help with. And he let Know Your Bible help. Just 2 weeks ago, I visited a Northside member that was in the hospital, 90 years old, cancer, ready to die. I walked in after some surgery they had done on him, and Dewey immediately started talking to me, as he would do. First thing he said to me, he said, Steve, I want to thank you for Know Your Bible. I can't really get out to church anymore, and you guys do a great job of teaching on there. He said, I really appreciate it. Then he said, my neighbors watch that thing. He said, one of my neighbors, he said, who has never darkened the door of a church building. And well, he'll go to a wedding or a funeral if he has to, but that's all. He watches every week, and he tells me, he says, Dewey, on that program, you get 8 or 9 short sermons. And he said, that's a good dose. They're both old farmers. I don't know what kind of soil is in that neighbor's heart. I don't know that neighbor. But that's the point. I don't know. That's what I've been trying to tell you. We don't know that kind of thing. None of us do. Our only job is to sow the soil, sow the seed. And it'll fall on all kinds of soil. Well, they'll fall on some good soil. If it goes forth, it will not return empty. That's his promise. It will accomplish what he desires, and it will succeed in the matter for which he determined it. That's all we have to do is sow it. Sow it. Now, that's how the program works. That's why we do it. And I'd like to thank you guys for being a help in it, being a part of it. I'd like to encourage you to use it more. A lot of people don't think about that, but it's your program. We put on the very last little bit fine print that is produced by Northside in Wichita, so somebody can find us if they need to. But other than that, as far as anybody knows, you produce it. Tell people about it. It's one of the easiest things in the world to drop into a conversation. When you're at break at work or something at school or someplace and somebody's talking about some current event or some moral dilemma or whatever, say, you know, my church puts a TV program on that answers questions. Just call this number and ask. You don't have to be a big evangelist to do that. Just drop it into a conversation. Get somebody watching. If there's good soil there, God knows it. He knows there's a matter that needs handling there. So use it more. Make use of it. The other thing I'd say in closing is we'd like to do a better job of communicating with you. Driving over and reporting in person is good for the folks that are here, but I'm sure there are a lot of folks that aren't here and all that. So next year I'm going to try to do a better job of communicating and start some email notifications or something to let you know better what's going on. If you'd like to give me your email today, just write it down, or your address if you'd like a written communication, and we'll try to keep you a little more updated on what's happening and know your Bible. So if you want some contact, some communication, give me an address or an email. I also want to thank you for your financial support. Watermill's been a long-time supporter of Know Your Bible. Obviously, you take care of all the expenses here in this area, which we appreciate greatly, and all the work that's done here. But then you also send some to help with the broadcast time, and we appreciate that. Paul called those kind of people partners in the gospel. A lot of times when he wrote to some of his congregations, he thanked them especially, like the one in Philippi, for being a partner in the gospel, for helping him do what he did. And we've got all kinds of partners in the gospel. Let me just close by telling you about two. We've got some really small partners in the gospel. What we do at Northside is we hand out that little handout you got, and inside is a pledge form. And that's all it is say that this year I plan to give this much in this way. Last year, 2015, we did this, and one of the ones I got was signed by a young 5-year-old boy at Northside, and he pledged $10 to Know Your Bible. And his folks brought me that and said he filled it out all by himself, and we saw him ready to turn it in. And so after church, we talked to him, and we said, Kellen, have you got $10? He said, no. I said, well, where are you going to get $10? He said, well, I can do some jobs. He said, I'll work for it. So Kellen started doing jobs that week, and his grandmother gave him some jobs, and his folks gave him some jobs, and about a month later, he brought me $10 in an envelope. I've got a picture of a few dollar bills and a bunch of quarters, and he brought his $10. We got some large supporters, too. I've told you we've received some big gifts over the years. We've received some timely gifts over the years. I told you God's always taken care of this. I'm just reminded of a number of years ago when we had to start putting closed captioning on. Of course, we always kind of wanted to, but we really couldn't afford it. And finally, the federal government passed a law that we had to put a closed caption on if we were on over 5 minutes, I think. By the way, that killed a whole lot of religious TV programming. It took it off the air because people couldn't afford it. That were just broadcasting their worship service or something. But anyhow, I checked into it, and it was going to add about $10,000 a year. It's more than that now, but back then it was about $10,000 a year to take care of it. And I was sitting at my desk scratching my head and stewing about, we're just kind of hand-to-mouth right now. Where are we going to find $10,000? True story, within 30 minutes, the phone rang. ex-Northsider that now lived in Colorado called and said, wanted to know about Know Your Bible and how it was doing. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange she'd be asking about that. But she did, and I told her where we were and all that. And she said, well, my grandmother recently died and left a trust, and I'm one of the trustees, and we get to assign part of it to some charity every year. And I'd like to send Know Your Bible $10,000 out of that trust. Thank you, Lord. Took care of it. We've got gifts like that. We've also got some larger ones, way larger ones. This year, past year, a man named Bill Hopkins at Northside passed away. He was a Know Your Bible fan. His wife had had Alzheimer's for years, and they watched Know Your Bible together when they couldn't get to church, and then when his health failed, he watched it all the time. Anyhow, he passed away and left a modest estate. He was a school teacher, so he wasn't rich, but he had saved well, and he left his estate to his three children. They came to me, and they said, we want to donate half of Dad's estate. So each of them wrote a check for half of their inheritance and gave it to Know Your Bible. Bill left a legacy. He left a legacy of generous children, for one thing. They didn't have to do that. And he left a legacy. There's going to be a lot of seed sown because of that. You go into my office, there's a frame that's got a quarter in it. Quarter is kind of the way we think about Know Your Bible back home. It costs about a quarter, actually a little less, but about a quarter to put the gospel into a household for 30 minutes. Rough figure. So the little boy Kellen I told you about put the gospel into 40 homes one Sunday. Okay. Bill Hopkins' kids put it into a whole lot more homes for whole lot more Sundays, but getting into the household is what's important, because there may be a matter there that God needs taken care of. And it occurred to me that's the way God has always done things. Jesus saw a fellow named Zacchaeus, and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. We're going to talk about this. He went into the household of Zacchaeus, and there was a matter there that needed taken care of. God told Peter one day, he said, I want you to go to the household of Cornelius. There's a matter that I need taken care of there. Paul was in jail, and he didn't know he was supposed to, but he had an appointment in the household of the jailer because there was a matter that needed taken care of there. That's the way God did it. That's the way he's always done it. Now, unfortunately, he doesn't give specific directions like that anymore. It'd be nice if he'd say, I want you to go to this household, but he doesn't. What he does do is tell us to spread the seed, to sow it, and he knows which households need a preacher. He'll get the word there. He'll get it there. If we send it, it will succeed in the matter for which he sent it. Appreciate your help in this great work, and we hope to continue it for many years. Now, there may be somebody here this morning that has a good and noble heart. The seed may have fallen on that good and noble soil, and you know what you need to do, and you want to do it this morning. Maybe there's somebody that needs to study some more, and I know Bill or any of the men here would be glad to do that. Whatever your public need is, we'd like to help you this morning. If you want to put Christ on in baptism or seek the prayers of this family, we're going to make that possible for you. We're going to stand and sing a song. If you need to come, you come. Let's stand and sing.